And we will begin the hearing. Alrighty, we attendance, all is in attendance on the members. It's a four-member committee. And I'll make a motion, entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the September 8th. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Before we pass, we don't sign anything, right? We have the... Alrighty.
This is for the September, wasn't it, that one, so...
Yeah, you, we got enough to sign. Alright, now we do have a resolution 365 approving the collective bargaining agreement between the County of Ulster and the Ulster County Community College Organization of Professionals and Administrative Personnel, OPAP. Could you give us any information on that? I mean, we have it in front of us, but we'll move it. Yeah, we'll for the...
I'll move it.
All right, for discussion?
Well, we had been negotiating with them for over a year. And we came to agreement that they settled for the longevity, 1.5, for the first 2 years. It's 1.5, 1.5. And then for the third and fourth year, it's 1.75, an additional 25% point. So it's a four-year contract. 1 year is retro, so we have to pay them for the year that ended in August. And three more years going forward. I think it's good for the new president to have a few years of relative peace and to start out. And the union was in agreement. I guess the county, we followed their guidelines on health insurance and stuff, so we didn't hear any negative back from them.
All right, what about the, when's the CSEA one up again? When is that up?
Well, the CSEA is negotiated by the county. So we don't...
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
We take care of the...
Even though you have... That's right. Here. I'm sorry.
It looks like we have all three unions right now with 4 years
right.
contracts. So no. We're good for 2 years.
That's good.
This was, as I was reading today, this was approved by the trustees, was it?
Yep.
So everybody's looked at it properly. There's a lot to look at. But you looked at it top to bottom and you feel good about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I feel real good about it.
Okay.
The unions we've had, John was negotiating for a couple of different sessions. They came back, they agreed, we went to the board, sent it to the county executive, they sent through their folks.
Okay.
We feel good with it. It's a good solid contract. Reflects what we've done with the faculty and CSEA. So I think we're on good grounds.
Right, and we have not received any negative comment from the county executive's office over it, so. All right, we'll entertain a motion to accept it.
So
all righty, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Alrighty, now we have another item. Before I'll finish these two resolutions and then we'll talk with you guys for a minute and get everybody. This is testing that the increased funding from the New York State Office for the Aging will be used to provide additional funding for direct care staff Office for the Aging. This is more pass-through money, basically.
I'll second it.
Alrighty, all those in favor?
Aye.
Alrighty, well, we'll start. We'll let you guys go, and then you can do what you need to do. The FTEs, since the last time we talked, we weren't sure if you were going to have where you were going to quite be at the very end, but how do we end up?
Well, last year, we ended up pretty good. I think Natasha has a handout for you. We can go over. It shows that our revenues for the year came in about $762,000 below budget. And if you look down, tuition was $429,000. State aid was down $35,000. That's because we didn't pay rent on the BRC, so we couldn't get state aid for the rent. So that reduced to $35,000. The chargebacks were up $2,000. The other revenue was down $200,000. And that was a program we told you that we discontinued for the communication workers. So that came out of other revenue. It also comes out of contractual expenses down below. We didn't use $86,000 of fund balance. So we came in with revenues of $24,960,099. And on the expense side, we have a salary and wages down, where we came in below budget of $245,000. We have benefits, $275,000. Contractual supplies, $551,000. So we have a total expenditures down $1,067,479. And the net difference was an addition to fund balance of $304,516. Now, the problem with that is this is not audited yet, because the auditors come in October, so there might be some adjustments to it. And we had, when we started the year, $255,000, so in total we have $560,235 in fund balance. I think you remember when we passed the budget, we had about four items that were still up in the air. The human services position, the registrar's area, media person. The cabinet has met on those positions, and we're going to use some of the fund balance to adjust in this current year's budget for those positions that were kind of left out of the budget that I put through in a, you know, it took about a month to do the budget, so there were some areas that didn't.
Right, so you're getting the, you're working on getting the fund balance up.
We're getting the fund balance up, and we're going to fund a few of those things that were kind of shortchanged in the original budget we put through.
Good. Very good. Any questions? Anyone? No? I guess you guys, and the FTE, what was the FTE in that? Let me get that here.
Well, in the FTE for the year, we just got a report in today that says it's 2167, but there's still four FTEs missing from the summer credit free year, so it's going to be about 2170-something. It's until the state actually receives them and accepts them, we can't use them for state aid. So they have to go up, be approved, and then they write back and says, okay.
So what's that in comparison to the year before then?
It's down from the year before.
Yeah, how much?
Oh, it was down. I think I even have a sheet for you. If you give me a minute, got to get into the right folder. We didn't want to give out too much information today, but here's an analysis of the FTE that you can take with you. That says that in 14-15 we were at 2160. In 13-14 we were at 2257. So, but you're more than welcome to take this. We wanted to keep your info on the simple, and that compares to 3 years on the FTEs.
The area in FTE that we're up is in the collegiate program. We're up significant in that area, so that's going to offset some of that.
Now, you still get the same state aid for those, the intercollegiate one, right?
The high schools. State aid, we're just going to reduce really one-third the tuition for the students.
Right.
But then again, we offset it by the expense that we have to pay the instruction. We don't have to pay that. So, really, it's a plus for us.
Right, and you're trying to push even more of those, more of those courses.
And I've met with all the superintendents of the schools, and we're going to expand to an even a greater level. What we're going to do is we're going to offer early college programs. So we'll actually bus some of the kids from their class from the schools to main campus, and they can co-mingle into the classes here. So that way, it'll be, if you have a class of 15 and you have three more, your expenses don't go up. So it'll really be a real plus to us. It'll get those kids like an advanced program. They feel like the collegiate life will be on campus with the rest of the students. And all the superintendents are really in favor of this, and they're really pushing that we do that.
Yeah, that would be an exciting program, actually. Yeah. The idea that you're getting them, they're coming right out to the campus. And like you said, if you got 15 in there, you put three or four of these high school students in there.
and really elevate that bar on those students. You know, it changes their attitude, changes their behavior. It gives them a true feel of what the college life is. And once they get two or three classes in, the likelihood of them finishing is up like 80% that they will finish a college degree. So it's
right
to the point of all that is.
Well, the light is at the end of the tunnel.
But they can see it too.
Yeah. So, you know, that's.
We've also met with I met with Don Christian, the president of EFAL, and we're going to be working some agreements between him and I that we're going to be doing some registration where a student can actually register as a freshman here, but considered a EFAL student. So that way they'll have a steady stream of students right from here that are already committed to EFAL, and they're going to get a better student. So we're working on that project. We're also considering having some branch locations in EFAL so we can have a better system of reaching those kids in that area. Right now they're kind of isolated and we probably lose them to other counties, but working with the BOCES, we might lose some evening classes over there.
Yeah, you lose them to Dutchess County.
Yeah. So we're thinking about, Don's really in favor of doing a lot of this stuff, so I'm encouraged with that. So.
The FTEs in the new campus, they're not in the old numbers. So we have an extra Kingston High School. So wouldn't that impact positively for the numbers of FTEs for the students that are going there? They wouldn't be going anywhere from before.
We'll realize that next year. This year we're doing.
Plus we're looking. I'm looking at the growth potential.
The growth is there. It really is. And we're going to do some other things in Kingston too. We were thinking about. The students in high school get out at 2:30. From 2:30 to 5:00, virtually that building is empty. So we're working with Palliano, and we're going to talk about doing some extended classes. So when the juniors and seniors can come and start taking the classes right there, so they don't have to worry about transportation. And we got to walk into that area.
Great.
So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, basically, are you shifting from the resource center?
But you're going to get more just by the nature of it.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
So when you're looking at the FTEs, when we had a particular drop for a while here, that it would seem to me to say this is an exciting thing for people that have never been involved before. They're right there to begin with. If you're talking about the hours, when you're looking at FTEs, I would think they have to increase. And at least when we're looking at, okay, how do we then build, when we're getting more from the state, we're getting more from just the way it's going to work.
Yeah, and that's part of the plan. Okay. But we won't realize that forever, probably until next fall. Yeah, that's true.
All righty, any other questions? Nope. All right, then we'll move on to Arts Mid-Hudson.
One question we got from it. I know you're in the budget process, is that we put in a capital request. I showed you a copy of it last time. And a few of those jobs are really health safety related, and we really hope we can get them through. That's the leach field, the wall in the gym.
Now, where are they located? Where did you send them to? They're not here tonight.
No, we turned it into the county as directed in July, and they are wrapping it into the budget proposal, I believe.
So I believe it is in the budget then. I'll take a look at that.
We don't know how much is in the, unless you guys got a capital budget rate, because we didn't see anything. But we know what we requested. But a few of the
capital projects addendum to the budget that came into.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. Yeah. Well, I'll take a look at it and see if there's a problem. What do you know what the numbers were on that?
Do you mean the dollar amount? Well, I can give you this.
Yeah, give me that, and then what I'll do is I'll call tomorrow to make sure that it is in there. If there's
our submittal to the county, and we gave it out last month too.
Right.
It's just that you're probably looking at the budget now, and you'll see whether we're included or not.
Right. Gotcha. Well, this is the 5-year update, right?
Right.
It's a five-year program.
Right.
Project on there, which is coming along slowly, and we're looking forward to that. But
right. I think, according to our attorney today, he said maybe it'll be on
November agenda for the legislature.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Because the Eastern...
But it's been long coming, long time coming.
Got to be patient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said the easement is all set to go, and he thinks it's going to make the November agenda.
Very good. All righty. Thank you, guys. I know it's been done, and you were going to give us a update, and you were going to also give us some information that I know that, you know, I did have a conversation with the county executive, and he did add $5,000 into that part.
I'm very grateful for that.
You know, so in our legislative programs, we were looking at doing, you know, something like that or more. And I had the conversation with him. To my surprise, he actually put it in. I mean, I was like, whoa. Kind of, well, I needed a job. Same thing with the 180 program that I went in and talked to him about. And then, you know, he called me up and said he put it in. And he said that I was right about it. And I said, well, that's interesting. I never thought I was ever right. But anyway, that went in also.
We love that.
The 180 program. So that's a program for, you know, children that are, it's actually meant, the program is very interesting because what they did was when they originally had the, they have a program normally for kids like, you know, 15, 16, so on and so forth that are, you know, getting in trouble. But the programs tend really not to work that well because at that age, you know, it's really hard to convince them of much. In other words, they, you know, in a sense, they almost kind of fall on their face and have, or, you know, whatever. But there was for younger kids, you know, like from 8 to 12 and such like that, that did things that they would have been arrested for if they were older. So that's what the program was trying to zero in on, and they'd have to make restitution, the kids would, and they would have to go before panels. It was a very interesting program. It was working quite well. And it was a federal grant, but it was a one-time thing. And then you had to fund it yourself if you wanted to continue it. Which I can understand to some degree. One thing says to me, well, if they give you the federal grant, it works, why wouldn't they keep giving it to you? But their mindset was, well, if you work on a program that works, and if it works, and then you think it works well enough, then...
They're willing to pay for the experiment. If you
yeah,
can,
so they're willing to pay it. So it was surprising you actually put that in, too.
Yeah, that's great. I've actually seen that happen myself over the years. Just, you know, that age group, if they get into trouble, and it's like, oh, they're just a little kid, but if you can somehow get them interested in something, you can turn their attention in a positive way.
All right, but you wanted to talk about the idea that...
Yes.
When we originally created the program, what we did was we wanted it as... seed money, like the federal thing there I was talking about. In other words, or capacity building, you know, so if they were using it to build capacity, but you were also pointed out to me at one point that you were concerned that some programs that are working are not, you know, would not qualify for our funding.
According to the letter of, I printed this out just so you can see what we give to the panelists and what we think about when we're talking to people that are coming to us for this funding. And that's the top sheet that you have. You know, we go over it, and if it's just if it is the program that they've done over and over again, like Ulster Ballet, they do that great dance program every year, which is really fabulous, and it packs the theater, UPAC. The whole place is jammed. And yet that's not really capacity building. That's an ongoing program that they do every year. So that's the conundrum right there is, you know, how maybe some of this should be considered. I think, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we were out there and Matthew Pope Quick made that impassioned plea about, for Mount Tremper Arts,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, it should be for programs and or just general operating support, not capacity building. And he's a good example of somebody that we've had particular challenges with because they do great work, great mm-hmm. programming, but they run on a very lean staff. And so for them, capacity building meant that they were trying to think up ways to to get funding, which is like the cart before the horse kind of way. And matter of fact, their last grant, they asked for this online fundraising database thing, and they talked about it. And in the narrative, they talked about how they were hiring a new executive director, and she liked this database. And the panelists actually said, well, what happens if you know, she leaves or something? And sure enough, the weirdest thing, this person came, they moved here, they didn't work out for some reason, she left, and then they never bought the database, they returned the money to us. And then the next year, we just added it to the pot to pass out. But, you know, that, you know, they do terrific programming. Maybe they weren't ready for that, but they tried to make the case for it just to get funding. So,
didn't Matt, at some point, I thought he got a grant for somebody to get grants. We gave them a little bit of money,
yes,
and they hired somebody who got them a lot of money.
Yes.
So I think we put $5,000 in maybe, and you wound up getting $45,000 or $50,000.
And that's the perfect example of capacity building. But I, you know, we've seen, and actually this is something that the panelists were really distraught over last time, was that many of these organizations that applied did not get funded because it was really for programs. It didn't really fall within the letter of our contract or what they had been told to apply within. These are the constraints. But, you know, the panelists knew the organizations and said, well, you know, they're actually a great organization, but we really shouldn't be funding them for this under this rubric. So that's why I started whispering in your ear, like, can we look at this again, and can we think about maybe another example is groups or artists that want to apply for to do a really cool thing that's going to happen here in Ulster County, maybe bring a lot of people in or serve a lot of people that live here, but they're not a nonprofit organization. So one of the things we do with the NISCA funding pot that we get is we allow for an artist or an organization like that to partner with somebody where they are the umbrella. And so they apply together, and maybe it's an artist-led project that works with a community center, and they do this great thing that maybe serves also a very underserved region within the county. And that's another concern of ours is, you know, we have these big fat pockets of Woodstock and Kingston getting most of the funding, and then there's a lot of bare spots, and there was not even any applicants to give it to. So we've really stepped up our outreach, and you know, early in the year, if we can tweak the guidelines a little bit, then I think we can reach a lot more people.
Do you have any suggestions on how to tweak the guidelines?
I really believe that I would feel comfortable, because we've done this in practice for over a decade, and that's to allow groups or artists to apply for support in conjunction with a nonprofit organization. So we would still be, you know, passing the money to a nonprofit with a 501c3, but it would be going to fund somebody that doesn't have that, like an artist or maybe a grassroots community group.
And what are the reasons we have to partner with a nonprofit organization? Why is that part of the guidelines?
One of the original things in our contract when this was set up 8 years ago was that the money could only go to a nonprofit organization, a 501c3, that had 3 years of steady arts programming you know, as backup. Because, you know, it was an experiment. I think I wasn't around them, but I'm sure they were looking at it very conservatively, like, let's try this out and let's see how it works, and we want to make sure that we proceed very carefully.
Limits the field, then, definitely.
It definitely
limits it. Maybe if that was a change in the guidelines, that you could reach out to even, you know, for-profit organization, all open up that the possibilities. Yeah.
Well, they would need to partner, I believe, with a nonprofit, because otherwise I don't believe we can legally give them.
Yes.
I think there would be a legal issue with us giving a profit organization money for the... I mean, you can still do it because you're contracting with them. Uh-huh. But I would feel more comfortable if they did actually, like, if they partnered with it, that would work. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I think that would make sense, because particularly if you're having a nonprofit that's been doing this for a while. Because in other words, so they're looking at saving their reputation at the same time.
Yeah. And that's kind of what that is. If you're a fiscal sponsor for somebody, you're essentially lending them your 501c3 status, which is, you know, you can get it yanked if you do the wrong thing. So
right. So, I mean, so I would be comfortable with the partnership.
There's one thing in here that I thought was a good idea, and one of us coming in is in different places. It's not necessarily in the places that are getting the capacity building, but when we talk about the studio tours, and exorbitants involved with that. They have, certainly have it going up in the Phoenicia area, Michigan and Dayton, and other places as well. And when we were chatting about it, well, I guess months ago, saying take a small portion in signs, for example. What it does is it gives you a program and you get signs and go to the individual artist's homes. And if you had an umbrella of a 501c3, all of a sudden it empowers those areas that don't really have all of the buildings and infrastructure in order to make it happen, like Kingston does and Woodstock and Blue Falls and the bigger areas, so that for very little money you can at least have a presence and people noting, and people like to go around to it. They open up their homes or their studios, whatever it happens to be. So they're participating, they're getting themselves known, they're growing for very little money.
Now, would you have a, I'd to get a copy of the actual contract that you have, because we'll have to amend that.
So, yeah.
We have time because it's, we don't have to wait, it's not going to happen until after the budget anyway, but until we actually give you the money when you get it after January, you usually get it in March, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
I think that's typically the time we send it out. So we want to make sure we get that beforehand. So if you have the specific wording on that, you have a copy of the contract, and if you want to put that right in there, the specific wording, and maybe highlight it so we can see it.
Yeah.
And what I might want to do is, maybe actually take, I don't know what the rest of you think, but I think maybe, part of it to be able to go. In other words, I still think the original, the original charge is an important one.
We feel that way too. I feel that we've seen in the last 2 years, though, that I think maybe a hybrid, like you said, maybe a certain portion of the funds are for this only. We just did one in Dutchess County that was a performing arts, and they could get either marketing funding or small capacity or small capital projects, and it worked good because some people, it's like a dream come true for some little struggling performing arts organizations. So, and I think just looking at we have a lot of amazing organizations and groups that do things here in Ulster County, and maybe allowing for some of the programmatic things to be funded. I mean, the way we were looking at it when we started thinking about this was that it not only keeps the residents going to things that they enjoy, but it also could enhance tourism. And so we were considering that as well.
All right, well, if you could draw up the way that you would like to see it done, I don't know about everybody else, but I kind of like the idea that, like the artist deciding where the art money goes. I certainly don't want to be the person making the decision. I don't think any of us, we just want to make sure that it's going into the right avenues and, been helping produce tourism and helping, enhance the arts. So if you could work something out, maybe you could just email me that.
I'd love to do that.
All right. That sounds good.
And, you know, I did give you some little handouts here, but one of the things that we were really excited about was a little bump that you gave us last year. We jumped across the bridge and hired an outreach marketing person. With that person, we've actually been doing a lot more work here in Ulster County. For instance, one thing I can think of is we went to the night market and we stood out there with a pop-up tent. We handed out water, and it was great because we also handed out grant cards and we handed out program information, like here's ways we can help you. And not just to the artists and stuff, right, but also to businesses and organizations, like community organizations. So it's been a really fun summer and busy fall. We're jumping ahead. Anyway, thank you very much for giving us some time today.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back at you with a contract with scribbles on it.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you.
So I have just a few updates. It's definitively fall. It looks like you've been reading about the pumpkin shortage out of the Midwest. There is not one here. The apple crop looks like it is going to come in really well. Agritourism is booming with almost all of our local farms doing pick-your-owns, and that you can't pick up a newspaper or listen to something or whatever, and if you're on Facebook, everybody's out picking apples or, you know, going to cider places or hard cider places and those kinds of things. I was disappointed to see that organic farm that was trying to do the fish and the aquaponics thing is declaring bankruptcy in Orange County. I think it just really struggles to try and make it. It certainly was a different idea, but I don't know what's going to happen with that. We're not really involved with that as much as the Orange County Extension folks were. At least they were aware of it, but it was economic development people that were really funding that. So it's really been the Farm Hub. We do a tremendous amount of work there, doing research and training and whatever, and that's basically what our role is in that. That's the old John Hill Farm. And we're looking at reestablishing the contract that we have with them. We had a two-year contract with them, then we had a three-year contract with them. Then that's coming to sunset at the end of next year. So we're already in talks with them to renew that and see what they want. We've tied the Cornell University into that as well. So we've got Cornell researchers working out of the lab, both in Highland and Geneva, that are working on a lot of those issues as well. And their focus is on local food systems, food hubs and whatever. They're doing quite a bit of work with local schools, trying to get youngsters growing their own foods right at their own schools and then using that. And I do appreciate legislation that's been both on the state and the federal level that's making that easier for schools to do that, to buy local and support local farms. It always seemed like an easy, you know, like, why wouldn't you? But because of the procurement kinds of things that go around any government-sponsored organization, and schools being some of the most regulated ones, they really had to buy for price. And so they were using the really big companies, Cisco and whatever. Local farmers really didn't have the kind of agriculture we do in the Northeast. And in New York State, it's a 9-month season, so we don't have product year-round. That often limited farmers being able to sell to those things. That's changing. And I think if you're in any of the local grocery stores, you'll notice that there's a lot of emphasis on local food and where it's grown and whatever. So we're involved in helping farmers deal with that, market to that. We do a lot of trainings on generally accepted ag principles, which is things that farmers need certification if they want to sell abroad or whatever, but it's also certainly homegrown as well. So a lot of really good things and big things happening in agriculture. And Ulster County is the hub in the southeast of New York State. We have more farmland, more product, and almost all of our things are fresh market. Okay, so I think we're second in apple production, and first is Wayne County, but most of those apples are not fresh market. They're going into processing. All of the things that we have are all fresh market. So, and we have beautiful stuff. As a matter of fact, I just came back from visiting an apple farm in Kenai, Alaska, the only one that they have. They grow a lot of their trees under high tunnels, which is one of the things that we've been spending quite a bit of time on, working with growers on that. High tunnels look like greenhouses, but they're not heated. Their temperature is regulated by raising and lifting the sides. One of the things I learned was that Alaska has more high tunnels than any state in the Union, and I guess that's because their growing season is so short. But they are actually growing apples. There was one high tunnel that had apples, plums, cherries, some of the best plums I've ever tasted, by the way, to get to taste those, and whatever. So they had one time had been working with folks here in New York State, so I just reinvigorated that because there's a lot of stuff. They're growing the trees actually in pots in the ground, and they have to keep them trimmed to a certain amount, and then they're splaying them out, and we do a lot of that here in New York as well, so that a maximum amount of sunlight hits the apples. So the trees aren't huge anymore like they used to be. They're very very contained and very narrow. So anyway, our local apple guys, our specialists, are interested in finding out. They do all their own grafting and stuff, and they're certainly big on cold variety. they're interested in New York because as the climate is getting warmer and changing and whatever, they're going to be growing what we're growing. We're going to be growing what they're growing in Virginia. So. Be interesting to see how all that goes. This is just a quick calendar or events. There's not much ag stuff on there because the ag stuff is all. We do a lot of advertising with it, but it's generally within the ag community. But this has got a lot of our nutrition programs working on it. Some of you may have noticed that you didn't get an invitation to our annual dinner. Which we usually hold in October along with Farm Bureau, we determined that we were going to try and hold an event in April or May, probably at one of the local wineries that we work with, and try to make it more of a fundraiser than, you know, just an annual dinner. Working really hard with our board of directors to get them to look at fundraising as a necessary and viable way of helping to fund the organization. As the government funding through Smith-Lever, through the state of New York, and also the county has become more scarce, we do most of our work now with grants and contracts. The problem, which works okay for us, except for the fact that we really don't have any core funding anymore to tide you over from one grant to another or whatever. That's generally what we use the government money to do. So one of the ways we can counter that is by increasing our fundraising. We're not and not have been a fundraising organization as its main source of funding. So that is a sea change for our board of directors. So, but anyway, we're working hard on that. Mary sits on the board from the legislature, so we're looking at opportunities to do that. The Harvest Festival that we did for the past 2 years, or actually 3 years, with Family Woodstock was an attempt to do that, but we could not compete with the... We were trying to model it on the Garlic Festival, but when the Garlic Festival started 27 years ago, there weren't any other festivals going on, so they built up this clientele. When we tried to do this, even though we had some really phenomenal things, and the problem I have with Extension doing fundraising is every fundraiser we do, because of the nature of who we are, we try to turn it into an educational event. And you really have to look at fundraising as fundraising and education as education. So when we did the Harvest Festival, we had all of the staff out there doing trainings on, you know, pruning trees and all those kinds of stuff, because it's what we do. And we really needed to be focused on how much money can you get on people coming in the gate and whatever. So It turned out that it was too time intensive for us, and we were up against a million other festivals. So now we're going to try and do something else. And so hence this dinner idea that we're going to come up with and whatever. The problem is that every not-for-profit is going through the same hassles. And so so you see all kinds of other things coming in. And then, you know, you look at Family Woodstock, which is phenomenal for doing fundraising and whatever. And when folks look at cooperative extension, they still think of it as government. And government-sponsored, and so folks don't think we need money or that it's important for us to need money in order to fund the educational programs that we're doing. So that's another education thing that we're working on. But so that's probably going to be our goals for the 2016. And we were put in the budget for the $350,000 that we asked for. I'm not sure what happened with the extra $50,000 that we were looking for to do an update the Ag Farmland Protection Plan, but I will call Dennis and find out. That was kind of a separate thing that we were looking for, not part of our budget, something that we could do, but it was really more of a county project or whatever. It hasn't been updated since 1998. That was the first time that we did it.
That is the farmland, and now you talked to Dennis about that?
Dennis and I had been talking about it. He had suggested that we put it in. He said he was going to talk to those folks. I don't really know what happened, and I apologize. I've been away for 3 weeks. My sister had serious surgery, and so and so the budget came out when I'm in Alaska, and I'm trying to read the budget stuff on my phone. Boy, I'll tell you, that's tough. But I did have folks, checking on that for me. But I have not checked into that yet, so I'll see what happens with that. Douglas just redid theirs. And matter of fact, there was an article in the paper. Sullivan just redid theirs, too. It makes you eligible for a lot of other support for agriculture, not specifically for extension, but for agriculture as a whole, so that, you know, there's grants and the different kinds of things that you can have if you have an updated plan. Purchase of development rights for farmers that are willing to sell the development rights on their farm for either not-for-profit or state dollars that they have set aside for this. As a matter of fact, the state sets aside $21 million for purchase of development rights in the south, this part of the state. So, and having an updated plan makes you eligible for that. That's why we did the first plan back in 1998. So I will check on that, and I'll let you know what happens with that. But again, that was money we were looking for. We could do the plan, but it's not really our function. You know, it's not our function. So that was sort of what we had offered to do. But Kate, the state will give you 50. It's a 1-to-1 match. The state will give you $50,000, and you have to match it. So that's the way that the grant works.
Gotcha. But you would do it through your organization.
I'm sorry, what's that?
You would do it through your organization.
Yeah.
You would carry it out.
What we did last time is we hired a cooperative extension person who actually worked on the plan and did the plan involving everybody else. We went out, we talked with a lot of farmers, we did a lot of consumer work, you know, what are people's attitudes about agriculture and whatever. We did quite a bit of research onto how much land was in agriculture, what does the face of agriculture look like. And there's been a tremendous amount of changes since 1998. So it really would be helpful if it was updated. And so I will check on that. I'll let you know next meeting.
All right, I'll probably call Dennis also.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And then before we do have, we have not talked about the budgeting on that, you know, for, you know, the legislative programs. Last year we went in with the United Front, this committee did, and as a result, because we did, we ended up, you know, the laws and rules that, I mean, Ways and Means actually passed what we requested in the funding. We have the list before us, and of course I know that there were the Mid-Hudson Arts was trying to get some more money so they can deal with some of the other issues that they had. Mike put in $5,000. They were requesting $11,400, I think it was. Community Action is requesting the same amount that they got, but then they also requested a $37,375 to fix the roof and structure stuff, which is on the...
Which is not in the budget, right?
Right, no, no, it's not in the budget. And, you know, and my understanding is they're also talking about moving to the new building once that, whenever it gets up in Midtown, when that happens, I don't know when that's going to happen. Repco is putting up where the old bowling alley was. Looking at having their offices there, so I don't know what's going on with that. The other thing with them is we did add $5,000 back in 2013 for the to fix the kitchen up so they could fly and hopefully get some Meals on Wheels stuff. We kept that in there in the 2014. In 2015, last year we granted them another $5,000. They requested more money, and we gave that to them. I don't know. I'm having some problems with this organization, the way I'm looking at it, at certain points.
We've noted some of the stuff you talked about, some of the stuff. I'm not sure where it's, you know, if you're going to go uptown Kingston, you could put money into it. I just don't know.
Right. Well, I don't see, I mean, I don't know, is there any support to give them the money for their infrastructure?
Kind of a precedent, isn't it?
We don't normally do that. But
do infrastructure, especially if it's up in the air as to whether they're going to stay there or not. So I think that ambiguity, it kind of makes me against
them, right?
It.
Well, I guess they would sell it to... I don't know if you've ever been down there. It's an old number four school.
We had a tour. We had a meeting there.
Oh, that's right. We had a meeting there. Yeah, they had the old number four school there. I think it was the number four school, yeah. And they'd been in there for a while. But, I mean, I could imagine it does need a roof at some point. But
you want to repair it with our money.
Right. And I don't know if that, in other words, that, you know, we look at programs. That's what we look at, funding, not infrastructure. We, that's why I'm a...
But the reason we did the kitchen was for them to, the competitors in the luncheons and things like that.
Yeah, because of the prestige situation, doing the lunches, and they were kind of iffy. So we were open that we went back to, you know, the Action, who did a very good job when they had it, but when they bid the thing, they were a little higher, and we ended up giving it the prestige, and then now some prestige walked out on us in the middle of the contract, and then so the county executive had to scramble to find people, so he's got...
And they weren't really prepared to take it either at that point.
Right. No, they weren't prepared. They put in, I think they bid some of it, but they didn't get it. It went to Gateway mostly. So, because they had the kitchens and they're going to do it. And
yeah, they kind of provide the amount of meals that Prestige used to provide.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It was too much.
Yeah, one time the Action did that, you know, quite a while ago. And the meals were pretty good. So we actually gave them the $5,000. So I'm actually questioning whether, and it's not in my nature to do that, but.
They're actually providing less services now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the way I'm looking at it. And not only that, but they did a thing with, they used to always have this county dinner, and they brought them from all over the place. They were brought in from
Broadway. It was a big dinner.
Yeah, it was able to get 600 people there. I mean, they had that thing crammed. And, you know, people, legislators from all over the county would actually go there.
That happens with the new director, right?
No, that's not. They've had them. They call them that, but they don't have any. They don't have the following on them. And it's what he's been doing is he's calling them that. They're call them the first and second or annual and third annual one, even though they've been doing them forever. But he's doing it in conjunction with the mayor of the city of Kingston, and that's the way he's been doing them. And
when was the last time you had been to the committee?
Yeah, it's been a while. And
I think last time at budget time, right?
Yeah. And so there was, my concern was with that. And then my understanding is we did have a conversation in reference to the backpack program that they ran, and part of the money that went into last time was the idea that they would give a couple $1,000s, and I don't know if that actually happened. They did actually, I think they ended up fundraising that money for the backpack, I think. It's Susie Inchie, right? Yeah, she's the one who does it, right? She's the one that does all the, the fundraising for them at this point. So, I mean,
what do you want to do?
So what services are they providing right now?
Well, they still do. They do EAP. They do a lot of EAP. They do, they do other services, helping people out in various ways. I mean, there's, they do, they're having, that's the other thing. They lost the what do they call it? The agricultural thing that comes from the state. It's being done, I think, by, maybe it's by People's Place now. I'm not sure. They do have some
food distribution?
Yes, the food distribution. They lost the food distribution that was done to Cornell Cooperative. Community Action. And I did call the state to ask them about it, and they wouldn't really give me a lot of information. I told them that I was the chairman of the committee that oversaw the funding, so I wanted to understand what happened. And they lost them because they weren't following certain regulations, and one of them being that they were actually taking, when they were getting vegetables and stuff like that, and they were canning them, and they don't allow that to happen because they said it's too risky of to do that, and so they told them to stop it, but they continued to do it anyway. So they lost that particular plant.
That was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was, they were the food distributors. So they had a lot of people showing up. They still get people showing up because they still have this farm thing going on still. But the other thing they had, they would actually give them like a week's worth of food you would get. And there was a lot of people showed up. They'd come in on buses even.
So are they still using the kitchen?
I don't know. I'm assuming they use the kitchen somewhat. I don't know.
Yeah. Goes back to my point that they haven't been here in a while. Probably questions that they that we can ask, especially if they're looking to have us face their
right.
And plus, if they're relocating, they might not need a kitchen if they're not.
Right.
If that's the kind of thing.
Well, it seems to me that I don't know that I would want to go any further than what we've been going, but I think they need to be here to determine. What is going to happen?
Because
then decide going forward how to fund it. But I don't know that now's the appropriate time.
Yeah.
Well, we could ask them to show up next month.
Sure.
That's right. Well, next month we're going to have the we're going to be running into hearings on. What's the 13th? We're going to be running in a month from now. The hearing is going to be
When would the meeting be next month?
We're going to be through the appeals process and everything else before that.
When did budget amendments happen?
That's a good question. I don't have that in front of me.
We're going to be doing the week, I think, of November 12th. Okay. I think that's right. I don't know. We're going to do three public hearings.
Mm-hmm.
So the amendment process has to be prior to that. So that's probably in late.
We may have our meeting on earlier the week before, possibly.
Need to do is to take a look at when the amendment process is in.
All right. So is that a problem for anybody if we change it the week before that, either the Tuesday or the Wednesday before that?
That'll be fine. I don't have
a. Yeah, I don't either. But, I'll look at the guy and I'll get back to you.
As long as it's not the first Monday I have help for me.
All right.
Other than that,
Well, it won't be the Monday. It'll probably be the
November 3rd.
Yeah.
That'll be Tuesday at the election
day. Oh, that's election day. Yeah, I don't think you do that.
Tuesday,
day after Wednesday would be fine.
Yeah.
It might be the Wednesday. That's where we when we used
that's
to meet.
Tuesday. So if you did it Wednesday, you'd be okay.
Yeah, so it would be the 4th. All right, so we're looking at the 4th. I'll get back with you on that. I'll make a phone call to get them there, and I'll get the the rundown.
I would make it a point that I don't just have it in front of me, but when we go through the appeals process, and that's what would have to occur, I would think.
So right, because if we're going to do any appeals, you know, right now this is what it is, and the way it's set up. Like I said last time, we stayed together, and we put in what we requested, and we got what we requested from Ways and Means. Some people voted against it, but we got the vote out of the out of them, so it worked out well.
I think it would be difficult if we go past the appeals process.
Oh yeah, no, you would have to end up doing it on the floor or doing it. That'd be insane.
So that's to me, that's the critical time. Right?
Yeah, and what I got to do is we'll I'll have to talk to. Dennis in reference to the other about the her thing, and then we may need to put that in one of ours, but we'd have to find where the money is coming from. That'd be up to Dennis to find that, not us.
Well, if we could maybe ask him for information before we meet, you know, just like what exactly, you know, what they are providing, what's going on with that whole thing. Yeah.
All right, we'll do that. I'll make those calls tomorrow.
It's going to go pretty fast from here. Just turn around and boom, you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, they go, and then we're going to have, right, then you got all those meetings, the hearings that we have. We have three of them, right?
Yeah, we're going to have one in Hurley, one right in the office, and one down in Shawnee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the one. So Ken's territory.
Ken doesn't show up, we're going to go knock on his door.
Yeah, he lives right across from the town hall, so they will all show up for dinner.
There you go, we'll stop at Ken's knock on the door, yeah. What'd you make us again, Ken? All right, very good. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Already, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.